Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, take a deep breath, Judith. Take a deep breath. We're going in. We're going into the podcast. Honestly, what are we both like? What a fucking week.
We're a mess.
We have apologies to make. We have pleas to make. We're needy. Well...
accident God. Prone.
Oh, yeah, you've been an idiot this week. I was unfortunate last week. I mean, I'm going to praise you in a nutshell. I had a lot of work. Well, I had some work lined up. Quite exciting. I ended up with COVID in a hotel room in Manchester, just spinning around going, what the fuck do I do? Genuinely, because nobody's really testing anymore and there's no rules anymore, but I knew I wasn't well, and I knew I had something that felt really toxic and catching. And I couldn't get this. It sounds awful, and I do apologize to anybody who's on the same train, but I did upgrade so that I was by myself.
No, well, that's a good decision.
I know. Yeah, and I couldn't get a COVID test in Euston. So I just got this. I thought, well, I've got to go. So I got on this train, got a COVID test at Manchester, got to the hotel. And as I say, I mean, I travelled light, Judith, and I didn't even have any pyjamas. I didn't have any food. And I phoned down. I said, I'm in a bit of a pickle here. And she said, oh, yeah, you can have room service, £15 a tray, plus, you know, the meal. Just sort of, for fuck's sake.
What, so just to bring anything up, plus what you charge?
Yeah,
No.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you could have got into breakfast and sort of spread it all around.
Well, yeah, she said, we don't have any rules anymore.
Oh, God, it's terrifying, isn't it?
It's
like we've all forgotten. And also, nobody's talking about any top-up vaccines or anything, are they?
We're going to be left to get on with it now, I think. But, you know, this is always a very divisive subject. And I can't be asked with any nasty emails. So please, you know, refrain. Fucking email. Write it. Just don't send it, okay? Send it to yourself. Then read it back at your own leisure.
You were poorly, Jenny. You were poorly and you were really miserable. And I don't blame you. You hadn't got any pyjamas because you said you texted me.
Do you know what, Judith? Do you know what I really wanted? I wanted you to get in your car with a picnic load of stuff. I wanted you to load your fucking boot up with a load of treats and things for me.
I was toying the idea of driving up and sort of scooping you up, actually, because you were very, very miserable.
I was very miserable, but that would have been silly. Eventually, they put me in a COVID-safe car. The driver knew the situation. So there was guilt on top of everything. I just felt dreadful. Absolutely.
I know you did. And it is horrible being on your own and being isolated and all of that. I mean, let's face it, you know, you could have just gone, you could have pretended that you hadn't got it. You could have just gone around saying you got flu and you were very responsible.
Yeah, I do think miserable. That actually once those red lines, and the thing is, this time the COVID line came up before the control line, you know, there was no two ways about it. Oh, it was a big, thick red line. Yeah. But there we go. Yeah, now listen, just to finish off the medical woes, and then we'll get on to your forgetfulness and your time in Cornwall. I have been struggling with my ear for the last few weeks. Can't remember now. Everything just rolls into one. And yesterday, I was just doodling online and I realised there was an Audible testing centre very near me. I mean, literally, Judith, 5 bus stops away. Oh. So I phoned them up and it was much cheaper than Harley Street. And I phoned them up. I said, I think I've got a very blocked ear and I need to come in.
Yes. I need attention.
I got the last 4:15 appointment and I was in there. Very nice girl. And Judith, these days, it's all very modern. They put a little torch down your ear, but it's a camera, so you can see what's wrong with your ear
like
on a bloody screen.
Like in the dentist. They showed you your eardrum.
Yeah, it's burst. Yeah, my eardrum's burst. I sneezed so hard, I burst my own eardrum. That's how boring.
out.
These viruses. Well,
you're doing that. I had to get some teller ladies. We were right.
Oh, yeah,
letter,
you did, didn't
we?
You? You because you were coughing so much, yeah, you were wetting, yeah, yourself.
Oh, that's awful. A burst eardrum. God,
well, a
you.
Burst
Does
bladder,
hurt?
A burst eardrum. No, very weirdly, she was very good, but she did sort of, not dismissive, but she just said, well, it could be a lot worse. So it's a small hole, and I think it's attempting to heal. She said, if it doesn't heal, there's a small operation you can pay for. I thought, oh, God, here we go. You'll be lucky. Yeah. I'll have to crowdfund, yeah, it.
That's a hilarious idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Hypochondriacs crowdfunding site.
Yeah, yeah. Please, please help Jenny heal her burst eardrum. Anyway, I'll go back in I'm going to give it 3 months without panicking. And I think I know when it happened, but it wasn't that painful. And I know people dread bursting their eardrums because it often happens on flights and things like that.
Yeah, I know.
But it wasn't like a massive high pressure thing. There was no blood, there was no goo, okay, there was no gore. Okay. So it's just it's like on the thing, it looks like a tear. It looks like a ripped piece of fabric. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Peculiar, isn't it?
Yeah,
peculiar?
Yeah. You could see some wax in the other ear.
Oh, could you?
And I apologised. Yes, I am so sorry. She said, oh, that's nothing.
Really?
And then she gave me a hearing test. And weirdly, my hearing's not bad. It's within the normal range.
Oh. So, I mean, as a hypochondriac's experience, it was quite pleasing, really, wasn't it?
I think I got my money's worth.
Yeah, because it's bad, but not so bad.
Yeah, I was 75 quid, and I got a hearing test thrown in, and good advice. Seen my eardrum. I didn't get a photo. I thought maybe she'll send me home with a photo, but she didn't. Anyway, there we go. Now, listen, give us a quick... I've done my précis of my ridiculous week. I want a précis of yours, because...
my accident proneness mess.
Yeah, I know, because you shouldn't be where you are now, should you?
I should still be in Cornwall. I've been to Cornwall just to really fill you in the picture of my accident-prone mess of a life. We've been to Cornwall twice. Let's go once down for a committee meeting. And for the management company and everything. Anyway, somebody's staying in the flat, so we had to stay somewhere else, you know. And so I booked it. I booked it on booking.com, a place in Downderry, which is just up the road. Thought, well, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
So we get there and, you know, it was about 7 o'clock or something. And Evening's pulling in. I mean, you know,
You're thinking supper?
Well, just about time for supper in the pub that we like and everything. No great expectations of the evening, but certainly a bed. Anyway, so... I put the postcode in, you know, because I knew the way to Downderry.
Yeah.
I thought, that's a bit odd. And then I scrolled down. It said the Isles of Scilly. Oh, Downderry, Isles of Scilly. So I've gone and booked somewhere in the Isles of Scilly by mistake.
You can't just
get
to Scilly like that, can you? You can't just pop over.
Well,
you need a helicopter.
You need a helicopter or a great big ferry that bobs up and down a great deal, I'm told. Anyway, so basically, I'm going to stay. And 87 quid paid, no refund. All of that, so yet more money down the drain. I know. So we ended up, you know, doing a lot of googling and finding ever so bit busy. So we ended up with this kind of chalet.
And it was Easter. It was like coming up to Easter.
Just coming
wasn't
up
it?
To Easter. I noticed. I mean, we were lucky to find anywhere, I suppose. And this kind of weird. It was called the Tamar Suite, but you know that word suite.
Yeah, yeah,
it,
yeah.
It, oh, very, very questionable. So it was a wooden
was it an
chalet.
Annex?
It was like in a car park, a chalet, like a shed. Slash chalet. And the trouble is, it was so windy that literally in the middle of the night, I thought we're going to be airborne. We possibly are airborne.
God, it sounds quite exciting.
Well, not really.
What did you eat, Judith? I'm really worried about your supper.
Oh, no, we had a very late supper. A bit late for me. We had a very late supper at the pub.
Okay.
A couple of glasses of wine and just really hoped the evening would go away, the night would go away. But anyway, so that's one accident-prone thing. And then yesterday, we were back with the twins. Oh, God, it's been a busy week. It really, I mean, it's been lovely to be with them. Well, they've not been very well again. And so I got, you know, they were going home and I was staying on. There was all this going on and babies' things had to be taken out of the spare room and microphones and all that stuff. And we got almost like, where's my laptop charger? Where's my laptop charger? Where's my laptop charger? So my laptop was dead. I left it at home. I had left it at home.
I didn't believe it. When you told me yesterday, she said, and you just said, I can't find my charger, I almost snapped. I said, well, look where he last saw it. You know, I nearly turned it to my mother and said,
pull
together. Yeah, well, look properly.
Together.
My mother used to say, look properly. And it's like, well, I'm fucking looking properly. Can't find it. It's lost.
Look properly. I think I say that to Michael.
Yeah.
Anyway, couldn't find it.
So you tried to sort of hitchhike onto Mike's computer.
Oh, and then there was all that, and then he hasn't got an ASB port, a USB port.
Is it a very new computer or a very old one?
Mine is quite old and his is new, because they've got all bloody wireless. You can't even,
This is what Daisy said when we lost connection with you. She said, I said, well, she's talking nonsense. She says, Mike hasn't got a hole in his computer. He must have a hole in the computer.
Nothing. You see, that's so annoying, isn't it? Because it's just they just make it so bloody hard for everything, don't they?
Yeah, and it just means all the cables have to change and nothing.
Yes.
We always said in the Grumpy Show, Judith, many years ago, because we're like prophets, we said one charger fits all.
Yes, is it a lot to ask?
Nothing to ask? Bloody hell, honestly.
Exactly, but not only
somebody who made that up, somebody who invented a charger that just morphed into any hole would just make a fortune. That's the only way out of all this shit, Judith.
I agree. But it's not just the charger shit, is it? Like, why can't they have one shower head and one light bulb fitting and one of everything?
I'm quite fussy about a light bulb. I don't know what I'm trying to buy, but I know I'm fussy because I don't like a bright light bulb.
Right.
I mean, you know, you do need a range of light bulbs, I'm
afraid. I know, but they could make it the same fitting, couldn't they?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Judith. You're absolutely right. Yes,
that's
absolutely
what I'm saying.
We're talking sense. Now, listen.
Need us to be in charge, right.
Well, they do. And we are sort of in charge, but not in charge of everything. And some of the things that our listeners have asked us to be in charge of are not possible, right? So, you know, we've got these live shows coming up, Judy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
Well, scared now. Yes, go on.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? What happened was we decided and broached the subject of doing the live shows, thinking it might be fun, you know, nice Sunday afternoon, bit of fun.
Yeah. Meet
matinees
the gang.
Matinees only.
Face to face. Yeah.
So the management said, right, we'll organise two. And those two shows, what happened to those two shows, Judy?
Well, you sent me a message to say they've sold out within, 36 hours?
Yeah.
Are we saying 36 hours? Sold out?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Cock-a-hoop.
I felt like Taylor Swift.
I got very, very, very carried away because, you know, I mean, I'm not a performer. You're used to this sort of thing. I was unbearable. It was unbearable walking on air, I was, telling everybody I met.
Strutting around the village.
Yes. So doing the show, yes.
You've sold out. Sorry, can't get any tickets. Yeah, I'd love to give you some comps. Sorry, sold out within 36 hours. Two shows at Leicester Square Theatre. Then the management said, well, okay, this is really interesting.
I know.
We'll pop a third on. And they actually said at that point, we could do four. And I said, hold your horses.
Yeah,
I said, don't get cocky. Don't get cocky. And the third show is still to sell out. And we might have peaked with our London crowd, possibly. But we do feel that there are a few stragglers that maybe haven't jumped on the tickets yet and just need a bit of a little push. So we're giving a little push. And that is the July the 16th one, is it not, Judy?
Indeed. 3 o'clock, yeah. July the 16th, Leicester Square.
Yeah, it's air conditioned in that theatre, if it's necessary. It's a very comfortable theatre. Nice red velvet seats. And you'll be very comfortable and we'll make sure you have fun. It's a bit of a panic pants time now, isn't it? Because, you know, we've got to write the show. Because it's not going to be just like the normal podcast. We're not just going to sit there and just, you know...
Wittering on.
Bollocks.
Although there might be some wittering.
Oh, there will be wittering. There will be, you know, there'll be... We'll have to warn them. We'll say this next 10 minutes is just wittering. You know, if you want to look at your phones and do something else.
No, don't say that to them. They will. Stop it. Stop it.
I don't approve that. You know, oh, God, that was a big furore last week as well, wasn't it? God.
What?
Oh, well, I don't think... Oh, God, it all got really out of hand. It was just it was meant to be a light-hearted discussion on this morning about whether people should sing along in musicals. And, of course, I'm very old school, and I don't think that unless you've been in every fucking rehearsal since you know, rehearsals began, you shut your trap. Ooh, and you listen to the specially trained. No, I'm not. Listen, I'm the most unmusical person in the world. If I started singing, clapping along, I'd be out of time. I wouldn't know the words. I could murder. I could murder any musical in town.
No, but
I could
be
ruin
fun.
It.
I'm sorry, I'm on the other side of the fence here.
I paid, you know, I paid 150 quid for a ticket. There's some cunt sat next to me murdering I Will Survive. No, absolutely not. I do believe that I think what happens is that it all gets muddled. What has happened is there's so many feel-good sing-along shows that people get confused about when and where they can and when it's appropriate.
That's probably true. You probably need to be told.
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. And
it's
it just
okay,
needs to
it's
be
not
this,
okay.
Yeah, we'd love to join you to join in at the very end. We'll have a big sing-along, you know, medley. And that often happens. I mean, at that point, I die of embarrassment and have to creep out.
Well, no, because I've suggested it in the past and you've always gone a bit, oh, I don't think no.
No,
no, we do. How, we do. I think we have to send them home. Now, we're talking about our show now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We have to send them home cheery with a spring in their steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There will be a special let out clause for the people like me who find that sort of thing quite embarrassing. So I'll probably leave you on stage to your own devices.
Oh, stop
at this
it!
Point.
Don't you dare!
I might.
Don't you
I don't know.
Dare.
But
I'm
what
mark
we're looking
you like
for.
In
So what we're looking for is a good sing-along song.
Yeah, to go out on.
To go out on. I mean, yes. There won't be any other singing. That's only that moment at the end of the show.
Yes. Don't panic, everybody. Don't panic.
Yeah. Where we, it would be nice if. You know, if you can think of any good songs, because you like Happy Talk from South Pacific. And
I
that's
love
a song.
That number. I love it. I love Happy Talk.
It makes my fists clench. It makes me feel
honestly,
very, very angry indeed.
Jen. Does it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it?
I actually hate that song. I hate it.
Do you?
The other suggestion you different. Came up with was Puff the Magic Dragon, which I quite like.
I would have liked, yes, I also thought about the Ask the Family theme tune, but that's a bit sort of subtle. Or the
Yeah,
or
well,
the
you
animal
sent it to me and you said,
there's no
singing along to the Animal Magic one. There's no words.
Oh, no, there aren't, are there? I love that
I mean,
tune,
it'd be but... very funny if the entire audience started to pretend to be ratty or, you know, some kind of hamster or whatever. But, you know, I think that's asking quite a lot of them.
It is.
So, yeah, we want something with words that you all know. And the Ask the Family theme tune, sorry, Judith, you sent me that and I did not recognise it. It said, Jeff, does this mean anything to you? And he said, yes, it's the Ask the Family theme tune. I thought, it's for the oldies. It's for the oldies.
Oh, stop it. Don't
there
rub
we go.
It in. Don't so, rub it in.
The other thing that what we can't control is some of you lot have asked that instead of interval ice creams, if we could sell mini cheddars and coleslaw. Sadly, we're not in charge of the catering at the theatres.
Wish we were.
Yeah, we certainly would. We would. Yeah, yeah.
Are they allowed to bring mini cheddars though along?
Surreptitiously. I don't think the theatre would like us to encourage it and say yes. You know, bring your own picnic, set up a table, whatever. But you know,
can't stop them, can we? We can't really stop. It,
just be subtle. But you know, be subtle as you can.
Coleslaw might be a bit of a mess, to be honest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you do have to think. Just always think of the cleaning
practical.
Stuff. Okay, right now then. So we have sent out our beggy need to sell the third show on the July the
16th. Yes.
You're back in Oxfordshire. Now, give me a little thumbnail sketch of how you went in Cornwall with the boys.
Jenny, oh my. Well, I think I spent the whole time sort of going like, where's my glasses? Can't find my glasses. Yeah. Where's my phone? Where's my lip seal? It was kind of like panic stations all the time. They're both under the weather again. Both got
Is it coughs. Another cold?
Well, it's
honestly,
another virus again.
Have they been to nursery?
Yeah, well, barely. I mean, I tell you what's happening is what people warned us is that they, because you have to pay for, obviously, for
Arlo starts next month.
Oh, well, be prepared. Be prepared for him to come home poorly. Ever such a lot.
Oh,
it's a
God.
Nightmare. Yeah. And the trouble is, I think
it's about 90 quid a day.
Oh, it's completely scandalous.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can't send in a sick note and sort of say, well, we'll skip that one. You have to just.
And he's got a whole sort of. He's got a kind of uniform list.
Oh, has he? Oh,
equipment list.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh. Actually, Sienna was telling me that there's a section in the nursery for a sort of a kind of baby workstation. And I thought that's amazing. So they've got Wendy houses and sandpits and all that stuff. But they've got kind of a little area with, you know, kind of old mobile phones and old keyboards for them to have a go on. And remote controls.
Yeah,
isn't that
yeah.
sweet?
I bet really they need sweet. Wiping down on a daily basis. Did
oh
I ever tell you about the time I went to a very posh... it was in Golders Green, so I think it was very much the Jewish community, and it was an old people's home, and it was the most beautifully run, beautiful grounds, beautiful house, and it specialised on the top floor for dementia patients. And it was such an eye-opener, because it was like a nursery,
gosh, was
incredibly
really?
Well equipped, and they had
wow.
all these boxes of dressing up clothes.
So, really?
Yeah, and there's this nurse showing me around. She said, you know, oh, this guy here, Reuben, he used to be a bank manager and he likes to go to a desk every day. And there's this guy and he's at a desk. He's at a desk and he's, you know, he's got all paper clips and all stuff around him. And then there's a woman walks by, she's dressed up as a bride, she's holding a doll. You know, it's just like that. Nobody says no. They just let them be.
Wow. And their imaginations and their memories
So, yeah. So, I mean, Arlo's got to have everything tagged. He's got to have a bag with three changes of clothes in. He's got to have, you know, his meds, all his, you know, his cream up for his eczema and all this sort of thing. Everything's got to be tagged. And his, you know, his special tin of baby formula, which is, you know, the non-dairy, blah, 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 all this.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
And then they have a timetable, and the timetable's great. It's like you go, oh, fucking hell, I'd like to go here. They do music and movement, and then there's sort of quite a lot of nap time. And
it was all very stretching. Very stretching, I think.
Well, you've got to get something for your money. I mean,
absolutely. Well, yeah, I know, it's a cost.
I mean, we couldn't do it. We could not do it. We couldn't do
it. Hard work, isn't it? I mean, also in Cornwall, they only had, because both cars were absolutely full to the gunnels again. So they only had a kind of few toys. So by about day four or five, you know what I mean? First of all, you keep hearing, you know, the same electric sort of battery operated thing, and they're bored with the toys. And then it started raining yesterday. That was just biblical.
Yeah, and they're not old enough to sort of read by themselves or do a jigsaw puzzle quietly.
Yeah, that's right. That's
or
right.
Or colour
go
in.
And sort yourself out for a bit. No, exactly.
And the thing with Arlo, though, you just chuck him a bit of Tupperware and he seems quite happy, you know.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I tell you, there was the grimmest moment for me. It has been lovely to be with the family, but the grimmest moment was one day. Sienna did a day's work, so we had the twins. It was raining; it was pouring with rain, and she said, "Well, you can't stay here with them. So there's a donkey sanctuary. So get this: 9:30 it opens. Yeah. Fucking donkey sanctuary. We're there, 9:25, waiting to go in. First people in." Muddy, pouring with rain, sort of big kind of horrible warehouse thing.
Yeah.
Very cold, you know, dark, no windows, no bloody donkeys. All the donkeys were out in sheds. So you had to get the pram wet, and then you got your feet wet, and the pram got all muddy. You know, a few donkeys.
Yeah, yeah. And then did they get a donkey ride? Or
no,
anything?
Nothing like that. It was too wet.
And did they react with the donkeys? Or
a little bit.
Not really, because, I mean, they took Arlo to the petting zoo at Battersea, but he just looked a bit confused.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they were a little, so, oh, what's that? Oh, okay. So we spent a miserable hour and a half in this sort of warehouse thing with a few toys. And then lots of smell of sort of really cheap fried food. And I thought it was just so, it just said it all, really. Because, you know, all those years that you and I have driven past, or I have, you know, an owl sanctuary or a donkey sanctuary. Yeah. And quite often I would say to myself, thank God I don't have to go there. Now, of course.
I've been to a nice donkey sanctuary. I once went, we were driving through Devon. And we just saw a sign. And do you know me? I quite like a horse and a donkey. Yes, I once rode in a donkey derby. And that's true. Yeah, my donkey got a nosebleed. I think it'd been on the coke. And and we stopped just for lunch. And this sort of, it was, you know, one of those places, and it had donkeys and lunch. And I genuinely remember this feeling of total, replete happiness.
Gosh.
Just with these pretty donkeys and a beautiful day, and just thinking I'm so lucky to be alive on this, to see this and have something to eat and donkeys. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's just funny how an experience sort of can shift both ways. It's either great or quite shit.
Very, very much so. Yeah. But you know, I once read that people in this country give more to donkey sanctuary charities than they do to...
My friend Julie Ballou, my dear old friend Julie Ballou, she works for Spanner, which is a donkey sanctuary. Yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
Does
she? They have a very nice Christmas card. Yeah. There we go.
Gosh.
Yeah, she's always trying to con me into giving them money. But you know me, I don't do animals. I think... I do a lot of other things, but I don't really do animals. I'll get some letters, I'm sorry, but I don't do animals. And they, of course, have just lost their one of their biggest ambassadors with because Paul O'Grady died, of course, which is terribly sad.
Yes,
that was while we were off air, you know, when we were both too ill to do. Well, it was me being too ill to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know him?
Yes. I mean, came along after me, but you know, kind of just caused the biggest kind of. You just go, what? This is a sensation. And, you know, I also had a peroxide beehive at the time. Just thought, oh, step down, Jenny. This one really knows what they're doing. And you just couldn't go on after. You sort of felt humbled going on before. It was just, Lily was such a sort of glorious creation. And Paul himself was the kindest man.
Was he?
So incredibly, incredibly. I haven't heard one whiff of anything nasty about Paul. And I remember when Phoebe got when they get a degree and she got her results and she didn't get a first and she kind of went into this meltdown.
Gosh, did she?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, because I don't know.
High achiever.
Anyway, it was a 2-1 from Oxford. It's not, you know, it's not bad.
And
I was cross with her because I thought this is fucking ridiculous. So I decided to take her to the Vauxhall Tavern that night. And my friend Julie was going, and Vanessa, and my friend Chris George, and we just went off to see. There was an Australian performer that we all knew was on, and Lily was there. Paul was there as Lily, and he just noticed Phoebe looking a bit sad, and sort of he just took her to one side, and he basically got her face in his hand and said, "You're a cracker, you. Don't forget it. You're a cracker."
Oh,
and it was the kindest thing, and she'd never forgotten it. It was a very sweet thing to do on that particular day.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, he was great. He was really, really good fun, and he lived his life how he wanted to live his life.
Yeah.
You know, and he let Lily go because I think Lily would have killed him earlier.
Gosh, yes, that's an interesting way of putting it. And he became such a sort of ambassador for animals, didn't he? For dogs.
Yeah, totally, totally. Absolutely adored them.
Very
different. And Lily had to, sort of, I think he buried her somewhere, or she went to live in a convent, I'm not quite sure. But he really, really sort of,
say
he did.
To her.
Said,
wow. Same age as me, I noticed, exactly the same age as me.
His constitution wasn't strong, but it's still terribly sad. Anyway, Judith Holter, what about food sensations this week?
Now, a clear winner for me. Oh. A clear winner. And we're not talking a sausage roll or a pork pie. We stopped off in Glastonbury on the way down to Cornwall. I haven't been there for years. Yes, quite amazing.
Pretty, isn't
place.
It?
Well, pretty, but I mean, you know, like literally, there was a whole shop of gongs. You know those gongs, like yoga like gongs?
Yeah, no, and, that would drive me insane.
And then
insane.
There was a sort of a maxi cape shop with buckles and a wizard. People walking around as wizards. Very, very strange place. I mean, hilarious place.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a place there called the Rainbow Cafe, which
it would
people
be called the Rainbow
it.
Cafe.
Yeah, of course,
yeah.
It would, of course it would. And you go down this little passageway, and there's a sort of funny hatch, great long queue. But everybody said it was an amazing place. And my God, it was good. Vegetarian, obviously, probably vegan. Yeah.
But did you get a seat? Did you get a seat? Was this a stand-up?
Oh, yes. Okay. It was Ellen and I. Yes, we scouted out the seat, you know, all that stuff. Oh, we didn't buck about. Anyway, mouth watering already because I'm about to tell you about it. It was a... I had three salads, a huge coleslaw, but I mean, we're talking great mixture, nuts in it, all sorts of things. Yeah. But the star of my plate was a cauliflower salad. And in this, I think it was raw cauliflower chopped up, not too small, right?
Yeah.
And it had kind of like mange-tous chopped up and apples and a few seeds and things. But then on it, slathered on it, was a kind of peanut butter, I think, with yoghurty sort of sauce. I think probably, I don't know what the spices
were. So like a
were.
Satay. Are you talking like
a little
satay?
Bit? Yes, a
cauliflower
little bit like
satay?
That. Oh, well, do you know, it might actually be that sort of thing. I'm going to have a go at it. I can't wait to go and get myself a cauliflower to do that. Won't be the same quite, but it was good. Oh,
I don't know what you use, because I don't think you use peanut butter in those things, because a satay is quite a smooth and quite liquidy thing, isn't it? I mean, I don't think you can water down peanut butter. I mean, I'm not an expert. I have the very good earth, you know, the crunchy good earth peanut butter. It's the one thing I'll spend money on.
Yes.
I don't think you can... I think you can cover chicken in that, because I think there's a Jamie Oliver where you cover a chicken breast with
actually.
A crunchy peanut butter.
Yes.
But I don't think that turns into a satay sort of...
No, I
think
how you would thin it out. I said,
I think tahini might be used. I don't know, but I think... Hold on, Judith. I'm just going to fucking Google it. No, I can't, because I've got this open. But I think there will be several listeners at this point... Googling satay sauce. But there we go.
So yes, I think it was quite a thin satay sauce. But you know, it was like
a runny satay sauce.
But lots of kind of vegetables all chucked in, and seeds and a few fruit, a little bit chopped up mango. Oh, it was good. So good. Yeah. Still thinking about it.
Well, I had there was one day when I was trapped in Manchester with my COVIDs, and I resented the idea of spending £45 just on tray service, three meals. I thought,
absolutely,
I can't do that.
Terrible.
I can't do it. So what I did, and that's before you pay for what's on the bleeding tray.
Oh, God.
So what I did, what's those go eat on those apps? I did, you know.
Oh,
one
did
of those,
you? Deliveroo things.
Deliveroo. I did Pret.
Like
Deliveroo.
The young people. Did you do and like the young people do?
Yeah,
on
I've got three sandwiches. A sandwich for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, and a sandwich for
sandwiches?
Supper. Yeah, three sandwiches, a latte and a bag of popcorn. I thought that'll see me through. And a banana. I thought that'll see me through the day.
Oh, that sounds grim.
It wasn't exciting, Judith, but it was. I felt like I'd cheated the hotel out of their tray service.
Yes, you triumphed. Yes.
Right, we are on Culture
Corner
now.
What you've been up to, what you've been doing.
I have not had a triumphant book for some weeks now, and I'm getting a bit fed up with this. I have just finished Memphis, which is one of the, it's on the Women's Prize long list, and it was fine. It was fine. And a lot of people enjoyed it more than me. I quite enjoyed it, and it's well written. I'm currently listening on and off to Fern Brady's strong female character about her late autism diagnosis. And Jeff and I listened to a book called A Flaw in the Design, which is quite an interesting book about a toxic uncle-nephew relationship set in Vermont. But I think that I haven't had a book recently where I've kind of not been able to wait to get back into it.
So I read the thing that you adored last year, which is I'm Glad My Mum Died. That amazing book about a child star, a real one.
It's an autobiography.
So touching and so direct and quick and beautifully written. But I don't know, it's just no mucking about, is it?
Did you read it or did you listen to it?
Oh, Audible. Yeah.
I had to slow the Audible down a little bit.
Yes, she rattles through it. I thought I'd got it on the wrong setting for a minute, but I hadn't.
Yeah, I had it on 0.9 or something. I knocked it back a bit because I can't keep up with you.
She delivers it very, very fast, doesn't she? But it's... Yeah. Oh, that's an extraordinary story.
Yes, I thought that was a really memorable read. And I think that, you know, the child star that goes off the rails is a sort of perennial, but it works, you know, and it does happen. And it's a cliche because it's true. I tell you what is on TV and should you need to catch up on it. But on Easter Monday, when Jeff and I were still sort of, we both had very faint COVID lines, we watched Guys and Dolls on Channel 4. And during the daytime. And we gave up. We just went, we can't, you know, there's nothing we can really do here. We shall sit down and watch. It's one of Jeff's favourites. You know, he loves a musical. And it's it's wonderful set pieces, glorious Technicolor. And Marlon Brando being a surprisingly light-hearted song and dance man.
Gosh,
do you know it?
That's hard to imagine. No, I don't think I do. No, I haven't seen it. Can't remember it. Oh, doesn't ring any bells.
It's extraordinary. It's the one with the Sarah Brown, the Salvation Army girl, and it's wonderful, Judith. It really, really is. It's
feel good. Sounds like it's very feel good.
It's an extraordinary film. It really is. So that is my recommendation. If people need cheering up and a proper musical to kind of, you know, get their blood going. What about you, telly-wise?
Magpie Murders, which I think somebody in the gang recommended, with Leslie Manville. Is it Leslie Manville?
Leslie Manville. Looking 52.
Oh, looking amazing. Her outfits. Did you notice what she was?
That brown leather jacket. Now, I wouldn't... that's a sort of like a funny colour brown, but it really worked.
Oh, I don't remember the brown leather jacket.
Soft brown leather jacket. No, she's got some gorgeous things in that.
Really lovely. That shirt. She had a really lovely shirt with kind of baggy sleeves, but sort of blacks and yellows. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that snazzy, jazzy one.
Gorgeous.
I tell you, Judith, there's somebody online has put together where all those pieces are from. You can Google that. Leslie Manville's wardrobe from Magpie Murders, and you'll get all the details.
It's so lovely to see somebody of, well,
approaching 70.
Is she really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And she drives a kind of little sports car in it, and she's kind of spirited and feisty and clever.
We've not finished it yet, Jeff and I, because we got interrupted by...
Not quite.
Because we really enjoyed the Hugh Laurie, Agatha Christie, the Why Didn't They Ask Evans, even though the last episode falls to pieces because Agatha Christie was quite insane quite a lot of the time. And a lot of her stories don't really add up or make any sense. But the journey was fun.
Hugh Laurie is always wonderful, isn't he?
Well, the girl in this was fabulous. So that's something else to download or to catch up on.
We watched the latest episode of Succession last night, which I've been itching to see. And I know you're not into it, and I absolutely will not spoil what happened, because it is a really dramatic episode. Amazing. God, it's good. I don't know what... you really have to...
There will come a point, there will be a day when, you know, Jeff and I say to each other, I think it's the Succession day. I think... You know, we've done everything
else.
It's time to go in. And I mean, there's a lot of episodes for us to catch up on. So that's exciting.
I found something on BBC Sounds, which I really enjoyed, which just by accident, which was Ian McEwan. And it came out, I think, on Good Friday. And it's a sort of special showcase of Ian McEwan's work. It's called An Evening of Music and Other Lessons. But it's kind of the relationship between music and... prose and fiction, and he reads some of the strongest passages from some of his work, and God, they're amazing. But also there's some beautiful music which kind of echoes it in between.
Music would annoy me.
Well, you're not all like you. We're not all musically...
Yeah.
Musical, but it's rather good, and I really enjoyed
that would perforate my other fucking eardrum. I bet you, I'm not listening to that shit. I'll read an Ian McEwan. I'll listen. I have enjoyed quite a lot of McEwan's. I enjoyed, really enjoyed Nutshell, which is a really small book.
I haven't read that one.
It's a story told by from a fetus's point of view. It's really interesting. And it's got shades of it's a Shakespeare play in it. It's like really clever, but really easy to understand. And I loved Atonement, and I think Atonement is one of the best films of a book that's ever been done.
Now you're on Taskmaster tonight.
Tonight we're recording on Thursday. So yes, that's on tonight. It's a very episode three. Is very funny. One of the filming days was the happiest day of my life.
Wow.
Everything has been downhill ever since.
After the Donkey Sanctuary day, you mean?
Yeah. No, it's better than that. It's a highlight of my life on screen tonight. A highlight of my 63 years. A definite highlight. I think that I was blissfully happy for about 45 minutes.
Oh, it does feel like a happy show. I mean, it does look like you're all having fun. And it is that blissful sort of, I don't know.
It's slightly innocent, isn't it? It's this playful.
Frivolity.
It's very, very playful. Yeah. I've got 12 chins, but I'm trying to disguise them with...
Haven't we all? You're very good with scarves, though.
Yes,
very good with scarves.
Very good with a scarf. And there is a Taskmaster podcast for those who are really sort of Taskmaster obsessives.
There are people that come out
directly after the show tonight. That's the Ed Gamble one, which is me and Ed talking about tonight's show. But the other podcast, I listened to a few of Catherine Ryan's podcast when I was myself in Manchester.
Right, what's
and
it called?
Telling Everybody Everything.
All right.
And it really is quite interesting. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of her opinions, but her articulacy is impressive. And she's kind of fascinating. And she's the most unapologetic woman I've ever... I mean, she's Canadian. She's just so not English. And she lives this sort of very, very... privileged lifestyle, and she admits that, she acknowledges that, she understands that, and but she will not apologize for it. And it's just very interesting. She's fascinating. She's a fascinating comedian.
What do you mean? Is that she sounds off about things that she sort of. Yeah,
it's awesome. A monologue, really. It's not a monologue, no, because it's not written. It's a bit like us, but she's getting off her chest things that have happened to her that week, what she thinks. She has opinions. She has very sort of. I don't ever feel I have totally fledged opinions on everything because I can always see the other side, which is, what makes me
like
dithery. And I go, on the hand you do
that
and then the other, how that... I can never say black and white, this is right and this is wrong, ever.
But she does she?
In some respects, she does, but that's sort of casting her into a sort of slightly trickier light. It's interesting to listen to and... it's a sort of window into a world that I do not live. So that's interesting. And I went to play last night, Judith.
Right, you did, didn't you?
I went out with Penny Smith, GMTV's Penny Smith from back in the... Yes!
She's just a bit of a mate.
Yeah, sorry, Judith. Yeah, she's a celebrity friend I've got. She's very, very easy company. And she sees a lot of theatre and a lot of opera. And she said, do you fancy the opera? I said, you must be fucking joking.
Doesn't know you that well, does she?
No. And so we went to see a play called Sap at the Soho Theatre, which a friend's daughter is in who lives just down the road. And I've known Jess Clark since she was a little girl. And she's a very, very good little actress. Well, I said that sounds patronising. She's a very good actress. And so that was an hour and 10 minutes. And then we went for a drink in the Soho hotel, which was nice.
Lovely.
I had to find somewhere quiet because of my perforated eardrum. And we went in one place and there was nowhere to sit. And she said, you can stand by the bar and have a bar snack. You can stand there. I said, I can't stand. I've got a perforated eardrum. It's affecting my balance. I could fall any second. She wasn't having any of it. She said, I'm very sorry, we haven't got anywhere for you to sit. And so we had to leave there. But no, I had a very nice time. It was nice. It was nice to sort of, have another girlfriend to sort of, tell all my jokes to.
And did She laughed in the right places.
Oh, yeah. No trouble.
That sounds like a nice evening. I like the Soho Hotel. Very nice. Lots of very stylish chairs. Oh, yes, it's always been very stylish. Done a lot of filming in there.
Yes, yes. And it's one of those places where you forget you're allowed in. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Like a lot of very posh hotels,
you go, oh, but I'm not a resident. Are they going to stop me? Is there going to be a fight at the reception?
Yes. Either that or they're going to say, oi, you out. You're not stylish enough. Who are you?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, the girl serving us could not have been less interested in us, could not have thought we were duller. And sort of be like, oh God, oh no, yeah, just two women that want a bottle of lager each because they can't afford the wine. Anyway, Penny got some olives and I got some salt and pepper squid.
Oh, nice choice.
I could have done with something salad-y on the side, but you know. I got in and I had... Oh, I forgot to do my taste sensation of the week again, Judith. I made a very bloody good chicken tagine. The North African chicken tagine that's on the BBC website is very, very good.
Apricots in it? Dried apricots? There were no apricots.
Oh, fuck, shit, wank. I had apricots in the cupboard and forgot.
But it was sweet enough because I slightly overdid
the honey and the butternut squash really soaked it in. So in some respects, some apricots would have made it a bit too sweet for me.
I'd like that next time I come and stay, please.
Could I put in an order? Okay, I'll put the order in.
Yeah, okay. I'll bring my cauliflower things as well. All right.
Now we've got to emails. Yes. Oh, now another call out for hobby crap.
Yes, hobby crap and hobby wonderfulness, please. Yeah, got some nice stuff, but we need a bit more.
Does make us laugh. The hobby crap.
Some good stuff in
there. There's some shit. You've really surpassed yourself.
Did you see that donkey?
There's some terrible work.
It's awful.
Yeah, awful.
Terrible, haunting eyes, holes for eyes.
Yeah, there's some really, really terrifying stuff, and we're so grateful to receive it. Thank you very much indeed. There's also some very good stuff as well, but the pile of good stuff is definitely smaller than the pile of shit.
So far, at the moment. We'd like a bit of both, please.
Yeah. And don't feel shy, you know. Don't feel shy of blowing your own trumpet. If you've done something really good, let us know. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, it can't all be crap. And we have had a nurse in a GP surgery, Claire Blewett, who's reminding those who still pay for their NHS medicines,
HRT.
There's a prepayment certificate. Going around for HRT for the price of a double prescription, you can get a whole year's worth. So make sure if you're under 60 and still paying for prescriptions that you get onto that if you're on HRT.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Now, finally, did you notice that Emma, 50 in 1 month exactly, she says she's only got and bought two tickets instead of one for the 11th of June show and is offering the spare one for free. Thank you very much, Emma. So she says, first come, first serve. Basically email us, I think, don't you think?
Yeah, email us. We'll put you in touch with Emma. We'll get the ticket, and the ticket will be held at the door. For you, and we'll make sure that you know there's the requisite name is attached. That sounds like a bit of admin that we could really easily come a cropper on, actually, Judith. But we'll do our best.
Come on, we'll be fine.
Okay, so we want you to buy tickets for that third show, and we want more hobby crap, and we want any other emails, any other bits of gossip you've got for us. And we're so sorry about last week; it was all a bit of a mess. But we're so glad. It's so nice to be able to get back and talk to you today, Judith. I was frustrated yesterday. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had to go to Phoebe's and do half an hour of ironing, but Arlo went to bed and I couldn't muck about with him.
Did you? You went
yes.
down. Yes. Oh, you're turning into me, you see. You're turning into me. I'm turning into you. That's what's happening. You know, bit of ironing things, yeah. Quite pleasing.
Well, it was up to a point. Okay, I will. Right. Now, I'll tell you what else. What? If you live in South East London, if you're lucky enough, if you're fortunate enough to live in South East London, Peckham Rye Park, the garden bit in the middle, they have planted so many tulips, and this week they're going to burst, and it's going to be a sight for sore eyes. I'm sort of on a daily monitor watch. I really am. It's just going to be amazing. That's my tip.
Very nice. Well, the sun is shining here. I'm going out on my bike.
I'm going to get dressed.
Spring light. You're going to get dressed. Yeah, yeah. Oh, for God's sake.
And have my breakfast.
So listen, look after
yourself.
Love you and leave you.
Yeah. Yep.
Toodaloo. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.